February, last of February of this year, I fell and broke my leg. When you get older, you get awkward. I was parked too close to my grass in my driveway, and one foot was on the concrete, and the other hit the grass, and I fell backwards, and all my weight went on my right leg and broke it. And I didn't want to tell anybody, but because I practiced what I preached to my kids, you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. So it was a while before I'd tell my wife, and she finally came home and she said, "You are going to the doctor." And we went to the doctor and x-rayed it, and there's a crack about this long and it's about that wide, and they put a steel plate in there and a bunch of screws. And I've discovered since you get older, you don't bounce back as quick as you did when you were younger. But I am so delighted to be with you folks today. When Pastor Bomar called and said, "Can you come?" I said, "Oh, yes. This is one of my favorite churches to come and to share the gospel with." And I love you so much. Y'all listen so good. Nobody goes to sleep. It can be kind of embarrassing to go to sleep, can't it? The funniest things happen in church. Fellow went to sleep during a revival one night, and his wife looked over and discovered that he was sleeping, and she was scared that he's getting ready to start snoring as usual. And so she got in her pocketbook and she got her some smelling sauce out, and she sneaked it over under his nose. In a few minutes he come around. And he yelled out, "Mabel, move your feet." Funny things can happen at church. I was going to say, turn your cell phone off and your hearing aids on. Years ago, I was pastoring over on Cane Creek, and during revival time, the churches would share audits with each other, and I went over to Old Cane Creek Baptist Church, and there's a fella at the top of the stairs, and two or three other guys had gathered there, and they were talking, and before the service began, and I overheard his conversation just as I entered the top of the steps, and he was bragging on his hearing aid. He got him a brand new hearing aid. Oh, he said the finest thing ever was. You can just hear everything. You can hear the little birds singing now. And he kind of broke his conversation. I said, "Lindsay, what kind is it?" He said, "It's 10 to 7. I hope that you'll excuse me for not being in the pulpit, but if I stand too long, my leg just won't hold me up. So bear with me, if you will. Maybe we can get out of here today before the Baptists do. I am still chaplain at Mountain View Corrections. It's been a very difficult year. COVID-19 has really played havoc on not only out in the public, but it's also in the prisons as well. We've lost several inmates as well as officers. Yesterday, I received some sad news. One of my dear friends that had gone through Mountain View Corrections for about, I think he was there about 7 or 8 years. I got to know him very well, became very good friends. He got out, been out about 10 years. I don't know if you know him or not, or may have heard of him. His name is Jody Lee Hager. Jody Lee was a singer, songwriter. He's made it to Nashville a time or two, and he has spoken to several churches around here. I don't know if he's had an opportunity to be here or not, but he's very, very good in singing, very good in writing music. And found out yesterday that he had died from the COVID 19, and it just broke my heart. And so you help me pray for his family. I'm not sure. I never met his family, but I did get acquainted with him and brought him into several churches up here, and he sang and gave his testimony. And he did love the Lord. That's the good thing about it. And I like to think that I had a little part in his life to get to know Jesus. And so when this moment came, it's okay. Aren't you glad you're saved? I don't understand why the Lord would even save me. I'm so unworthy. But I know there's power in the blood. And I know when he sees me, he don't see me, he sees the blood. And all my sins are covered in that blood. Isn't that wonderful? That's somebody ought to shout at me. But I'm glad to be here today and share the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. What I do in the Bible. First Timothy. I'll get rid of that and quit playing with it. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. I want to read verses 6 through 16, if you would read with me. I want to share a message with you entitled Advice for How to Live Better in Christ, to be a better Christian. I believe that's the need of the hour. And it's good advice, isn't it? And I want to share with you about four things. And all these statements will start with the letter S. Now, some of you, I'm sure, you're familiar with alliteration. This is not exactly alliterated, but it does help me to remember those points. And I hope that it will help you remember those points. After all, that's why I'm preaching, is for you to remember. Not to show off any of my homiletical skills. Lord knows I don't have those. But for you to remember what the Bible is saying to us. So if you have your Bible and you've turned to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, let me read verses 6 through 16 with you, please. Would you mind standing with me to honor the Word of God? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of this life that is now, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. What he said is, you take this to the bank. You take this to the bank, it's worthy. So I hope that I can say something this morning that will encourage you and help you as we continue our service to the Lord. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believeth. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers, word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed, therefore, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, that thou both save thyself and them which hear thee. May the Lord add his blessings to this portion of Scripture. Would you join me for just a moment of prayer? Father in heaven, as we bow once again in your presence, we come humbly and asking for your divine guidance and strength as we stand here this morning. And I pray that there be no parading of the flesh, but all that would be said and done would lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for your word. Now help us to understand, and we'll give you the praise and the honor for it. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you so much. It did me a lot of good to bring my water. It's back there with my wife. Would you care to bring me my water, please? She'll kill me when I get home. Thank you, sweetheart. Medication makes your mouth get dry, or you get the more medication you take. I'm sure you're like me. Most of you take a big handful every morning, every night. But it keeps us alive, and we're thankful for that. I want to talk about some things that you already know. Paul is writing this epistle to his son in Christ, and advising him some things that will be beneficial to his life as he strives to serve the Lord. And the things that he has said already, he wants to remind him of them. And I'm sure that everything that I say here this morning, you already know. How can you be reminded of something if you don't know it? So let me share with you a few things. As I said, four things. And I really want to strive and to try my best to get those points across so that you can remember them. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be a good minister. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Christ. I really want to be, not for competition's sake. I want to be the best I can be, but not that I can stand and say I'm a better preacher than so-and-so. But I want to do it to honor Christ and his word. Now, the first thing that I want to share with you, that you already know, to advise you in being a better Christian. First of all, you must submit to godliness. Look there in the scripture. He says, but godliness is profitable. Now, it says exercise is it's pretty profitable. I mean, it's good for you. Years ago, when I lived in a parsonage at Rome Mountain, I'd get up real early of a morning, and I'd exercise a little bit, and I'd hit the road running. And I'd run all the way down to town and through town and back, and I really felt good. It was really helping me a lot till one foggy morning. And you know, the road on Cane Creek is very narrow. Some lady come by down the road there, and she almost hit me. She almost touched my clothes. And it scared me, so I stopped running. But I felt good to exercise. Some of you probably are advocate exercisers, and it's good for you. But that's not the best thing for you. The best thing that you can do is exercise your faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Godliness is profitable. Now, I'm talking about giving yourself wholly and completely to him. I'll be the first to tell you, you'll never get anywhere with the Lord unless you have surrendered your life to Him. I wonder if you've done that. I wonder if there's a time in your life when you set aside some time to bow in prayer and say, Lord, I know I'm not much, but you could have all of me if you'll have me. I remember years and years ago, lived out on Grassy Creek, and I was just a Christian. I wasn't a submitted Christian. I like everybody else, I'd go to church on Sunday morning if I felt like it, or if my wife shamed me into going. I really wasn't, I was a Christian. You can be a Christian and not go to church, but you can be a better one if you go. I'll guarantee you that. And so the Lord kept speaking to my heart, and He kept fingering around my heart and saying, you need to give your whole life to me. And I became more miserable and more miserable until I came to the point that I could have taken my own life. So one morning about maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up in the living room and went in there and got up on my on the sofa on my knees, and I started crying, and I started begging Christ to have all of me. I said, Lord, if you could have me, you could have all of me. I'm miserable. I know that you want me to serve you, and I can't tell you, I can't express to you the joy and the feeling that I had that night. And it's been there ever since. What a joy it is to really give your life to Christ wholly, fully. I'm sure that there's some people in all churches that you're just nominal Christians. You just go perhaps to be going, and it's the right thing to do. And perhaps you have been saved, but you just never serve. You never do anything for Him. But I'm here to suggest to you, if you want to be a better Christian, I propose that you say, Lord, you could have all of me today. I hope you'll do that today. So the first thing in order to be a better Christian is submission to Jesus Christ. Now, He says it's profitable. It certainly was to me. It may not be to you. I'm talking about financially. During that time, I bet I had 4 or 5 credit cards that they were calling me every time the phone rang. And so many other debts I couldn't pay. And I didn't blow my money. Didn't know what was happening to it. I just couldn't make it. I made an average salary. I was a meat cutter. And the average salary. But I just couldn't make it until that night when I said, Lord, you can have it all. It's yours. From that moment on, the Lord began to help me. And it wasn't too long until all those credit cards were paid off. And I took those credit cards and I burned every one of them. But it was profitable to me. It may not be to you, but it was to me. But I know it's profitable when we die. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful when you get to heaven to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All that you can do, I'll guarantee you, will be worth it all. You'll be glad you did. So I'm here this morning to ask you, if you've never submitted your life totally and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ in service, would you do that? If not today, some other time, if I could help you, I'd be glad. Give me a call, I'd be glad to. I'm sure Pastor Bonner would be happy to as well. So the first thing is submission to godliness. The second thing is to set an example. Look there again in our scripture, verse 12. But be thou an example. Now, you know as well as I know, you are an example one way or the other, for the good or for bad. For not much or for a whole lot. But you're going to set an example. But what I'm trying to say is be a good example in serving Christ. He even goes to enumerate 2 or 3 things that you should set an example in. Look there again. First of all, a big example in your conversation. Now, I'm sure that most of you, if you're like me, when you get around people who are using vulgar language, does it make you sick? I just can't stand to be around them. I'm going to either say something or I'm going to leave. But it's a shame that too many Christians, so-called Christians, will use vulgar language and even go a step further to use curse words. Take the Lord's name in vain. Set an example in your language. Be pure in your language. You don't have to know all the English correctly. Can't think of his last name now. Went to school with me. He was always slaying the King's English. Now all the teachers were every time he would talk, they'd correct him. But he was a good boy. But you don't have to be perfect in your English. But you sure do need to be pure. It makes me sick. I heard not too long ago a so-called Sunday school teacher using the name of the Lord in vain. And I almost puked. I regurgitate over here and puke over here. So set an example in your conversation. Set an example in your conduct. Look there again in verse 12. Too many people act like the world. I'm talking about acting like they never know Jesus Christ as Savior. Wherever you go, keep in mind that Christ is there with you, his eyes upon you, and he sees and he knows all that you do. You'll not get by with anything. I know some folks that if they're with the world's crowd, that's the way they are. And if they're with Christian folks, that's the way they are with Christian folks. But we ought to be example in our conversation. We ought to be example in our conduct. Verse 4 or 5, those old wise fables, those old tales, lies that people tell. Don't repeat those things. We have a tendency sometimes to repeat something we don't know for sure. We just heard it. So be an example in your conduct and your conversation. And be an example in your charity, your love. You can love everybody. You don't have to love their ways, but you do have to love their soul. Regardless of what color they are, or where they are, or what they've done. One of the things that I had to establish when I first went to Mountain View Prison, so many of the blacks wanted to try me and see how I felt, if I was prejudiced or not. And finally, I just got them all together one day in our worship, in their chapel. And I said, look, fellas, I know you're wondering what kind of fellow I am, if I'm prejudiced because I'm white. I said, I want to tell you something. We're all the same color on the inside. And so I've never had that to deal with anymore. But we need to be an example in our love to other folks. It doesn't mean you have to be a buddy with them or whatever, but we can be responsible for speaking to them and sharing some things with them maybe. Now, let me go on to the third point that starts with the S. The first one was submission to godliness. The second was set an example. And the third one is study till I come. Look again at verse number 8:13. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Now, I was just thinking the other day when somebody was talking about Bible study. They were studying at home, and I said, I really wonder if you are studying or if you're just reading. There's quite a difference in that. Do you know that? There's quite a difference in studying the Bible and reading the Bible. I've heard folks say, well, my mama or my grandma has read the Bible through two or three times. Well, that's good, but did she study it? We need to study the Bible so that we become sound in doctrine. Look there again in verse number 13. You know, we're responsible for our belief in doctrine. And
if you don't study it, you're going to have to take somebody else's word for the doctrine. As you know, I'm a Baptist, grew up a Baptist. And I heard a lady say one time, the reason I'm a Baptist is because we baptize. I thought, oh Lord, she's never studied. Well, are you a student of the Bible? Are you just a reader? Do you read regularly? Do you study regularly? The older I get, the more I can understand because of my past experiences. And when I read something, I say, yes, Lord, I've experienced that. We've gone through that. And I'm going to grow from this study. Do you study the Bible? Or do you take somebody else's word? I'm not saying that you're a bad person if you don't study. I'm not trying to put you down, but you really ought to be a student of the Bible. I have a lot of those inmates who quote the Bible. They're quoting something else. They're not quoting the Bible. I say, where do you get that? And they can't tell me. Well, they just heard somebody else say something about it. So, study the Bible. Would you do that? May I encourage you? May I humbly ask you to be a student of the Bible? Now, finally, the last test is to submit your talents. Surrender your talents. Look there again in verse 14. Your gifts, whatever God has given you to do, do it. So many folks say, well, I don't have any talent. You do. You got some kind of talent. Years ago, I was pastor in Marion, and I had a pastor come out and speak at one of my meetings, and before he spoke, he sang. My, can he sing? He'd taken voice lessons. Oh, I felt so jealous. I couldn't get up and sing by myself. I thought, Lord, I feel so sorry for me. I don't have any talent. And you know, come to find it out, I had plenty of talent. I had a talent that I really hadn't recognized. Let me tell you, let me explain. If a lady went to the hospital to have a baby, and she brought the baby home, I'd write that baby a letter. I'd call that baby's name, and I'd say, now, so-and-so, you can't read this letter right now, but Mom and Daddy's going to read it to you. And I hope that you become a Christian when you get up old enough to realize that you're a sinner. If I saw somebody in the paper that had a wreck, I'd read the McDowell News, and there's been many a letter I've wrote to somebody I didn't even know. I saw their name in the McDowell News that had an accident. And I'd write them a letter and I'd say, I saw in the news recently, the news, that you had an accident. I'm so glad that you're not hurt real bad. And I'm sorry that you've had this accident. And I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but that's a time for us to really think about what could have happened and what could have happened to us. And I hope that you're a Christian. If not, I'd invite you to come to our church and hear the Word of God preached. I usually write letters to everybody for everything. One day I was sitting in my study at Bible school, and it was a hot summer day. I had the window up, didn't have air conditioner in my study. And one of the ladies of the church had a group of little fellows. I'd say they were probably five, six years old. I bet she had a dozen or more of them out behind the church. And they were playing and having the biggest time ever was. There's nothing like the joy of kids playing out in the schoolyard. And I looked down and I saw her, that joy that she had on her face and the expressions that she had and was giving. I turned around in my desk and I got my pen and I started writing, Dear Lois, I just happened to look down on you today as you were playing with the kids outside at Bible school here. I just want you to know that I'm so proud of you, and may God bless you. If I can ever help you in any way at all, feel free to let me know. Well, I forgot to mail it to her. It was a year later. I found the letter, and I read it to her personally. I think it did more good then than it would have if I'd give it to her. But you have some kind of talent, something. It don't have to be spectacular. You don't have to sing. You don't have to pray in public. You don't have to do a lot of things that other folks do that we count as talent. But just a smile. Or just a word. Or just a telephone call. There are just so many things that we can do. Maybe take some money to somebody that you know that's down on their luck. That's talent. So I'm encouraging you this morning, if one of all these S's have made a point in your life, surrender your talent. Let me repeat what I've said. Submit your life to Jesus Christ. Best thing you'll ever do. Then try your best to set an example to those around you. God will bless you. Study your Bible so that you'll know what is the truth and what is not. Be sound in doctrine. And then finally, surrender what you have in service and talents to the Lord. Is that very simple? But I hope you can remember it. Would you bow for the closing prayer? Father, thank you for these words. And I pray that you'd use them to lift your lift up your word. Lift up Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is so worthy. Thank you for the opportunity to come to share with these folks. And I love them, and I pray for their pastor, that you bless him. And bless them all together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.